Aren't you thankful that Jesus saves? The moment we'll sing 294, Jesus is calling. He is. He's calling. Have you answered His call? So glad that you're here and with us this afternoon. I encourage you to get your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Our attitude ought always to be that God is the potter and I am the clay. Our desire ought always to be for God to mold me, fashion me, according to His will. He does that through His Word. And every time we study the Word of God, that ought to be our desire, that we conform ourselves to the will of God. Thus, we're always looking for lessons in His Word that we can apply to our lives. We're doing that on Wednesday nights as we study through the Bible. Wednesday night, we talked about the book of 1 Chronicles. And we didn't spend a whole lot of time on the last two chapters, so we're going to talk about them this afternoon. Lessons from what David said to Israel. So many great lessons that we can learn and apply to our lives today. In these two chapters, David is speaking to Israel. Chapter 28 and verse 1, David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies, captains over the thousands, captain over hundreds, stewards, mighty men, valiant men. Verse 2, he stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people." In 29, verse 1, we read, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation," David speaking to Israel. In chapter 29, verse 28, we read that David died in a good old age. You could consider some of these David's last words. A lot of lessons from what he said to Israel. Let's learn some lessons from what David said to Israel. Chapters 28 and 29. Beginning with this, "Keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord." Much emphasis is placed upon keeping the commandments, seeking the commandments throughout the Bible. It's no different here in 1 Chronicles. In 28 and in verse 8, David had just reminded the people that it was in his heart to build a house for the Lord. God told him he would not build a house. He was a man of war. He had shed blood. Verse 4, the Lord chose him to be king, chose Judah to be the ruler. He chose Solomon to sit upon the throne. And verse 6, Solomon, he would be the one to build the house. And in verse 7, it says, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever," talking about Solomon, "if," it's an important word, "if his established kingdom forever was conditioned upon this if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as it is this day." Then in verse 8, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." Keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord. So often we read of that emphasis and the fact that God gave promises and gave gifts conditioned upon keeping commandments, seeking the commandments. No different here. We read in 1 Chronicles 22 that prosperity was conditioned, verses 22 and 13, on keeping the law of the Lord. He would establish his kingdom forever. If. Today, eternal life is conditioned upon keeping the commandments. Revelation 22 and in verse 14, "Blessed are they," who is that? "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city." Are you keeping the commandments? Keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord. An important lesson. Another one that we learn is to know God. Know God. Chapter 28 and in verse 9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." So important. An excellent charge from David to his son. Know thou the God of thy father. It's so important that we know God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them, on who? Them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So important that we know God. Do you know God? In the book of 2 John, or 1 John, rather, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we learn something about knowing God. 1 John 2, 3 and 4, hereby we do know that we know him. How do we know that we know God? If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Do you know God? A third lesson we learn from what David said to Israel. Serve God. Serve him. 28 and in verse 9. And serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Serve God. First of all, with a perfect heart. The word perfect means whole, full, complete. Serve God with a whole heart, a full heart, a complete heart, with wholehearted devotion. In Deuteronomy, in chapter 10, you remember what the Lord requires of his people? Deuteronomy 10, beginning in verse 12, Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God. It doesn't stop there. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. With all your heart, with all your soul, serve God. And with a willing mind, God has always expected his people to be a willing people. Psalm 110, verse 3, Your people shall be volunteers, willing. God expects his people to be a volunteering people, a willing people. There are people who aren't willing. They don't serve the Lord willingly. They're unwilling. They're grudging in their service to God. Well, you might as well forget it if that's your attitude. Too many people today aren't serving God wholeheartedly, and too many people today aren't serving God willingly. How about you? Remember in Malachi, in chapter 3, in verse 18, Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Discern between the righteous and the wicked. How do we do that? Here's one way. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth not God. Him that serveth him not. If we don't serve God, we're among the wicked. Serve God with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. Another lesson is this. The Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. Same verse, 28 verse 9. It's what he says next. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. He searches all hearts. He knows all hearts. He understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. That means he understands all that is framed in the mind, our every imagination, our every thought, our every intent. God knows it. God understands it. Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5, similar language. When God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw and knew every imagination of man, and their every imagination of the thoughts in their heart was only evil continually. The imagination of our thoughts can be evil. It can be only evil continually. It was then that led to destruction, the flood. Not the kind of imagination and thoughts we want. But it can be good. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. Can be good. Which one is ours? Either way, God knows it. He understands it. What does God know and understand about our heart and our thoughts? That's the Lord that tries the heart, 29 verse 17 of 1 Chronicles. David said, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. He examines, proves, tests the heart. Does my heart pass the test? That's the question. A fifth lesson we learn is this question, seek or forsake? What are we going to do? Seek or forsake? 28 and in verse 9. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. We have a choice, brethren, to seek the Lord or to forsake him. That's our choice. That's up to us. We can inquire of God, follow after him, seek him. If we do that, he will be found. Or we can cast him off, reject him, depart from him, abandon him, forsake him. And if we do that, he will cast us off. He will reject us. Did you know there are people that God casts off? There are people that God rejects. You talk to some people today that have you believe that God accepts everybody. Everybody's going to be accepted of God. Not true. There are people God rejects. Here's one group of people. Those who forsake him. Many people have forsaken the Lord, but they still expect the Lord to accept them. It's not going to happen. Cast off. Shows that God's relationship with us depends upon our relationship with him. God's dealings with us depends upon my dealings with God. God's made it possible to have a relationship, made it possible to have dealings with, made it possible to seek or forsake him. He's given us that choice, and it's ours to make. And understand, forsaking the Lord often occurs gradually, slowly. It doesn't always happen overnight, but it's a slow process. It can be hard to see, and we need to be looking for that. Signs of forsaking the Lord. Seek to correct that before they're completely off the path, then it'll be too late. Seek or forsake. Will you find God or be cast off of him? Another lesson. Be strong and do it. Chapter 28 and in verse 10 this time. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Highlight those words. Be strong and do it. Solomon was to build the Lord's house. What a task. Build the Lord's house. Likewise in 28 verse 20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. Do not and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and do it. Doing requires strength. It does. Why are there many who aren't doing? They lack strength. You show me a man that's doing, I'll show you a strong man. Show me a man who's not doing anything, I'll show you a weak man. Some people don't have enough strength spiritually. Thus, they don't do. They don't do. They may read, they may study, they know the will of God. I know the Bible says that, but I just don't think I'm strong enough. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. We need that exhortation today. It takes strength to do. It takes strength to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. Imagine the strength it took the Lord to live on this earth. Suffer as he did, to be crucified the way he was. We're called upon to take up our cross daily, follow him. In so doing, we'll be hated of the world, suffer, be counted strange. That takes strength. Be strong and do it. Take strength to be faithful. Be strong and do it. Take strength to withdraw from the disorderly. Be strong and do it. Take strength to reprove, rebuke, exhort. Be strong and do it. Takes work, strength to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. It's an important lesson. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Psalm 119, verse 28. Strength comes from the word of the Lord. No matter what the challenge, read the word of God, and whatever it says, be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. Another lesson we learn from David in his speech to Israel is the importance of a pattern. The pattern is often emphasized. In chapter 28 and in verse 11, David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, of the houses, of the treasuries, of the upper chambers, the inner parlors, the place of the mercy seat, the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts, the house of the Lord, all the chambers round about, the treasuries of the house of God, the treasuries of the dedicated things, for the courses of the priests, the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord, all these things were to be done according to the pattern. This is a divine pattern given by God. Verse 19, all this, said David, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. God is a God of patterns. Whenever he gives a pattern to his people, he expects you to follow the pattern. And today, the New Testament contains God's pattern for us. It's a perfect pattern, James 1:25, a complete pattern, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 7, a final pattern, Jude 3. All things today must be done according to the pattern. Do you know what the pattern is, and are you following it? That's an important lesson we learned from David. Here's another one. David prepared with all his might, an excellent example. Chapter 29, and in verse 2, David says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Told by God he wouldn't be the one to build the house, so he prepared with all his might. He prepared abundantly, chapter 22 says. Remember that? And in verse 5, notice these words. David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. The house that is rebuilded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. You might highlight the three words, before his death. Man does not prepare for anything after death. After one dies, the option, the opportunity to prepare for anything is over. Either you prepared or you didn't. This life is a period of preparation. This life is our time to prepare. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Prepare to stand before the Lord in judgment. We're going to be judged by his word. John 12, verse 48. Prepare abundantly. Prepare with all your might before your death. How about another lesson? From verse 3 this time of 1 Chronicles 29. David said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Highlight, I have set my affection, and I have given. I have set my affection, and I have given. David gave. He gave of his own proper good. He gave of his own special treasure of gold and silver. Not only did he prepare with all his might for the house of God, he also gave of his own proper good, his own special treasure to the house of the Lord. He gave over and above all that he had prepared for the Lord's house. Not only did he give such things, but he really gave himself in that he prepared with all his might for the house of the Lord. My question is, why did David give so much? Why did he give so much? Here's the answer. Because I have set my affection to the house of my God. Here's the lesson. Affection setting precedes giving. Giving first requires I set my affection. If David had not set his affection on the Lord's house, he would not have given like he did. Why is it few today are giving so much for the Lord? Because those few have their affection set on the Lord. Why is it some give nothing? They're not hardly giving anything to the Lord. Well, their affection is not set on the Lord. Why is it so much give to carnal things like sports? The amount of effort some people give to sports, it's astronomical. Why? Well, that's because their affection is set on carnal things like sports. Affection has to do with one's heart, one's devotion. Where is your whole heart? Where is your full devotion? David's heart was in the house of the Lord. David was devoted to the house of the Lord. That's why he gave so much. Suppose David had said, my affection is set on the house of the Lord, but he didn't give anything. He hadn't given anything. You know it's not true. He says, my heart is in, I'm devoted to the house of the Lord, but he didn't give anything. You know that's not true. You don't have to wonder if David was devoted to the house of the Lord, if his affection was set, if his heart was in it, because of how much he gave to it. You know that. And those who are devoted to the Lord, who have their affection set, whose heart is truly the Lord's, you don't have to ask them, is your affection set on the Lord? You know it because of how much they are giving. In 1 Chronicles 22 and in verse 19, a familiar from Wednesday night and similar phrase, 22 verse 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. Why are people not rising and building? Why aren't people working? Because they haven't set their heart and soul to seek the Lord. The lesson is, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3 and in verse 2. You remember what's said in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? If you set your affection on the Lord, on the church, on his work, you might just find yourself giving like David did and preparing with all your might. Next, we have a good example of giving. We learned some lessons about giving. David had just set the example, excellent example of giving, preparing with all his might, giving of his own for the house of the Lord. And then he challenges the people in verse 5, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? A good leader, a good example is so important. Someone like David to step up, to give like he did, and then to call upon others. Who will do the same? Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? What was the result? Verse 6, then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands, of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God. They gave gold, they gave silver, brass, iron, abundantly. They gave precious stones. Precious stones. These were precious treasures. Would you have parted with such? Would you have been willing to give like they did? Verse 9 says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Again, willingness emphasized. If you aren't willing, but rather grudging to give, you might as well forget it. The people gave willingly, and they gave much. Would we have been among that number? And verse 9, then the people rejoiced. I want to rejoice. I want joy like that. Thus, my question is, why did the people rejoice? And if I find out why they rejoice, maybe if I do the same thing, I will rejoice as well. Why did they rejoice? Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. We have that phrase, with a perfect heart again. Same meaning, complete, full, whole heart. They wholeheartedly offered willingly unto the Lord. Here's the lesson. Setting your affection on the Lord, giving wholeheartedly to the Lord, brings rejoicing. That means not giving as you should to the Lord produces a lack of joy, sadness. Why is it some aren't rejoicing? They aren't happy. Perhaps they're not giving to the right source. They're not giving to the Lord. And secondly, they're not giving enough. They're not giving enough. They're half-hearted in their giving. And when we talk about giving, we don't only mean giving of our means on the first day of the week, though that is included. That's an aspect of giving. But we mean in every aspect, giving of ourself, giving of our time, giving of our effort to the Lord, to his work. How much are you giving? Another lesson. We learn about the greatness of the Lord. 29 and then verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. You talk to some people, you think they have the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. We don't have that. That's not mine. That's not yours. God, the Lord, He has the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. The Lord has all. All is His. All is the Lord's. Verse 11, all that is in the heaven and in the earth, both heaven and earth alike, all is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Verse 16, all this store that we have prepared to build Thee in house for Thine holy name cometh of Thine hand and is all Thine own. All is the Lord's. The Lord reigns over all. He's head over all things. He is in control. He rules over all. What a great blessing. We can put our trust in Him. Riches and honor come from the Lord. Verse 12, both riches and honor come of Thee. Verse 14, who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee. Verse 16, all this store that we have prepared to build Thee in house for Thine holy name cometh of Thine hand, is all Thine own. Riches and honor come from the Lord. Reminds me of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, when the people would come into the land of promise, they would prosper. And they were warned, in their prosperity, do not forget the Lord. Because when they prospered, they would be tempted. Their heart may be lifted up and say that all the things came from mine own hand. Verse 17, my power and might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. And they forget the Lord. So they're being told, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God when you prosper. Because, verse 18, Deuteronomy 8, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Remember that. Riches, honor, wealth, that comes from the Lord. If we acquire that, remember the Lord. And knowing that, verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. Don't forget God. Thank Him. Bless Him. Praise Him. It comes from Him. We learn that we are strangers and sojourners in this world. 29 verse 15, we are strangers before Thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. We sing number 230, this world is not my home. 213, here we are but straying pilgrims. That's what we are. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Hebrews chapter 11, good examples of faith, those who died in faith. Remember what's said of them in verse 13 beginning, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. We are strangers, sojourners, just passing through in search of a better country that isn't heavenly. While on this earth, we're unspotted from the world, transformed. Another lesson that we learn is that life is short. Verse 15, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. The Bible often emphasizes the brevity of life. This is one place. Life is like a shadow. James 4, 14, 15, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Life is short. Prepare with thy might. Just a couple more. God has pleasure in uprightness. Chapter 29, verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. The Bible talks a lot about the pleasure of God. He does have pleasure, and his pleasure is in uprightness. That's rightness, straightness, evenness of paths. You can't be upright and at the same time be all over the place, uneven. You can't be upright and deviate from the word of the Lord. You can't be upright and wander off the straight and narrow way. We learn in Psalm 33, verse 4, that the word of the Lord is right. Thus, uprightness, rightness, straightness demands walking according to the word of the Lord and not turning from it. That's what the Lord has pleasure in. We learn about David's concern for his son. Great concern continually is shown from David to his son throughout these accounts. And he often made requests of the Lord for Solomon, for his son, gave charges to his son. We learn that David's concern for his son was a spiritual concern. Back in the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 2, remember verses 2 and 3, the days of David drew nigh that he should die. He said to him, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Have you ever told your child, be thou strong, show thyself a man, keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments? Have you told your child that? In 1 Chronicles 22 and verses 12 and 13, again, David charging Solomon, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Have you told your children that prosperity comes from keeping the law of the Lord, taking heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments of the Lord, that wisdom and understanding comes from the Lord? Then in 1 Chronicles 29, in verse 19, David asked God, give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things. Have you ever asked God, give my son, give my daughter a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes? That's my greatest desire for Rue. God, give my child, a son, my daughter, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes. Have you prayed a prayer like that? Do you pray for your children? What do you pray for concerning them? Have you ever asked God this? Do you give charges to your children? What do you charge them? Is it a carnal, concerned charge? Son, be the best baseball player you can be. Son, keep the commandments of the Lord. David's concerned for his son. May we be like David in this aspect. He was concerned for Solomon's spiritual prosperity and his being faithful to God. They worshiped the Lord. Chapter 29, verse 20, David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, all the congregation. Bless the Lord God of their fathers. Bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices to the Lord, offered burnt offerings to the Lord. On the morrow after that day, 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They worship the Lord. The Lord is the object of worship. The people were subject unto the king. It is written that they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, verse 22, anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father and prospered. And it is revealed, all Israel obeyed him. And then verse 24, all the princes, the mighty men, all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. They submitted themselves. They obeyed the king. In Romans chapter 13 and in verse 1, we learn that let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. the powers that be are ordained of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And we're to be subject to them. They were subject to the king. And in addition to that, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is our king. He is reigning on the everlasting throne promised to King David. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. The church is his kingdom. Those in the church are his servants. He has all power, all authority. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Are you subject to the king? In conclusion, there was great gladness. Chapter 29, in verse 22, they ate, they drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. Do you want gladness? Do you want great gladness? Apply these lessons to your life. If you haven't already, bow your knee to the King of Kings today. Submit to him. Deny yourself. Let go of your will. Conform your will to the Lord's. I'll leave you with 29 verse 5. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Are you willing? Do so now by believing the word which you have heard and obey it. Repent of your sins. Confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized. Then be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord, to his will. If you've done that, you're a Christian. There's sin in your life. Repent of that sin. Pray to God for forgiveness. If it's of a private matter, take care of that in prayer between you and God. But if you've sinned publicly, come forward and confess your sin. Confess your faults one to another. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, Jesus is calling. Answer the call right now. Together we stand and sing.